What's going on, family? I am so grateful that you joined us for today's message. And I honestly believe it's a setup because you, just like me, need another level of faith to believe God for miracles. And I just know that God wants to do miracles in our life that are outside of what is common, outside of what we normally see. And that takes us posturing our heart to actually expect something more than we've seen. In today's message, I'm gonna teach you how to do that. And I believe that God gave us a song called Miracles that we sang today in service. And you're going to join service right after this song literally wrecked our church. And I'm gonna play it again at the end for you to have a moment to worship God with understanding of what a miracle is and how it can actually transform everything in your life. Today's gonna be a good message. Open your heart and get ready to receive what God has for you today. And I'll talk to you on the other side. Okay, so today I'm gonna preach to you with a title called Faith for Miracles. Faith for Miracles. You thought we was gonna sing the song and then I was gonna give you 3 points in a poem to let you go live a life that's powerless. Today, I feel like I'm on assignment from God to remind every believer that miracles are the promises of God to a believer. It is not saved for a select group of people who have some secret society that God does miracles for. It's not relegated to people who are on platforms. You don't have to follow nobody around the country and pay $1,000 and get miracle water. Okay, I'm. We serve a God of, somebody shout at me, miracles. Shout it with faith, say miracles. And today, I need to, in this seed form, as we're talking about mustard seed faith, I need to come and tell you that your belief for things may be too low. What if I told you that a part of the package deal of salvation, that there is a level of authority and audacity you can walk into that allows you to live, watch this, at the frequency of miracles? And I know people don't talk like this because they actually don't believe. But as we were in this writing session this week, we were about to move on to something completely different, and the Holy Spirit arrested me. And he said, you know that chorus that y'all sing, I have faith to believe, you have all. He said, there's a revision I need to do to that song, and I need you to sing about miracles. And we spent about 2 hours penning words that we could sing in the valley. Now, I know everybody wants to sing about the mountaintop, but do I got at least 500 people to be honest that sometimes we find ourselves in a valley? Okay, I need to know where the people who have seen victory out of a valley before. Okay. And if we're honest, some of us are in a valley right now. And today, I came to help your faith. Because if you're going to have faith, you might as well use it for miracles. I'm gonna say it one more time. If you're going to have faith, somebody say, you might as well use it for miracles. Today, I want to stir the faith on the inside of you to the point that you're going to see everything different from this moment on. Go to Mark chapter 16, verse 17. This is going to be our anchor scripture today. Mark 16, verse 17. These miraculous signs, another translation says, miracles will accompany those who believe.
How many believers do I have in Jesus Christ in this room or online right now? And if you're not a believer yet, we're so glad that you're here. We hope by our love and our proclamation of God's word in a way that you can understand it, that one day you will come into a loving relationship with him. And today I feel like it's my job to let you know there's no better way to live than to believe in God. Okay? But once you cross that threshold, then what do? This past week, me and Natalie decided to really start teaching the Todd tradition of winning in games. And so to do that, we had to start beating our children in board games. And this past week, we have introduced to the Todd household Monopoly. And I don't know if you've ever played Monopoly with your children, but there is a very nice tension that comes with teaching them and whooping them at the same time in the game, of course. And as we were playing this game, there's one card when you pull it in chance called the get out of jail free card. And what happens with this card is that if you have this card, you get to hold it just in case you ever go to jail. It's your saving grace. And one of my daughters had the get out of free jail card and forgot about it and was paying the penalty and not getting to take their turn because they didn't understand that they had access to get out of jail. I couldn't help but think about how many believers that they come into a relationship with Jesus Christ and they have access to heaven, but they are missing their opportunities in life because they actually do not use all that is available to them. They just happy to not go to jail. And some of y'all just happy not to go to hell. But if God sent Jesus to actually come, John 10:10, that we might have life and life to the full, an abundant life. What does an abundant life look like? Does an abundant life, ask yourself this question, does an abundant life that Jesus Christ describes in his word look like your life? Would you be a prototype for an abundant life? I'm not talking about money. I need everybody to hear me. Jesus talks to us about the fruits of the Spirit, the proof that you are his: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Would you be full, abundant of fruit? And the truth of the matter is, most believers do not look like what God has, watch this word, promised. When God promises something, if it don't happen, it's not him. I'm gonna say it one more time. If God promises something, when it doesn't happen, you have to check the user. Have you ever called to get something fixed? And it wasn't the thing, it was a user error. You was hitting the wrong button the whole time. You are doing it the wrong way. I had to come to the conclusion that when I look at the promises of God, when he says in Mark 16, that miracles, signs, and wonders will accompany every person who is a believer. Accompany, look at that word. That means come alongside of every person who believes. If I'm going to a concert and somebody accompanies me, they with me. Miracles, signs, wonders should be with me at the gym. Okay. Miracles, signs, and wonders should follow me when I'm at Disney World. Oh God. Miracles, signs, and wonders should walk with me as I'm looking through houses for my family to move into. I don't gotta call them. They already come. So why would miracle signs and wonders not show up? It might be because we don't understand how they are supposed to be an intricate part of our everyday life. Look at this scripture. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages or tongues. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. Let me break this down to let you know why you're supposed to believe that miracles can happen in you, with you, through you. In you, with you, and through you. This scripture says, if you are a believer, somebody say, I'm a believer. Come on, say it with faith. Say, I'm a believer. If you are a believer, the first thing it says you can do is a believer can evict evil spirits. Did y'all see that? You can cast out deep high school believers. You can evict evil spirits. Oh God. You do not have to walk into a place and be like, the vibe is off. Okay. The aura wasn't one of anointing. Like, you can walk into an atmosphere and say, hold on. I command the spirit of depression to leave this room right now. I declare the peace of God to be in this room. I thank you, Lord, that you are good. And goodness is showing up in this atmosphere right now. You can evict evil spirits if you're a believer. This is not something extra you have to work for. There is not a doctorate program that comes with getting these gifts. This is baked in, built in, comes with it. Somebody say, I'm a believer. I believe for miracles. And the first thing you can do is evict evil spirits. Oh God. When you evict evil spirits, that means you're authorized by God. Anybody ever been evicted? Don't raise your hand. But if you've ever been evicted before, the person who comes to serve an eviction notice is not just somebody going up to random doors. It's somebody that's authorized. Many times the property manager don't even live in the same state. Many times the property manager ain't even ever been on that property. They got other people that work for them that are authorized to say, hey, you ain't done what you're supposed to do. This is not the environment you can be in anymore. Get out. When's the last time, as a believer of Jesus Christ, that you have walked in the authority that God has given you and authorized you to be in? And I don't care if you are an introvert or an extrovert. I don't care if you have a soft personality or a loud personality. You have been authorized with the personality and the DNA God has given you to be able to walk into any situation. The demons have to listen to your whisper. Okay. I need to tell somebody right now, you can whisper, get out of here in the name of Jesus. And they got to flee. You have been, somebody say, authorized. If you're a believer, he said, you can tell whatever spirit has been lingering around your family for decades. The only reason it stays is because you let it. You let poverty stay in that house. You and your family joke about that spirit. Y'all know we broke. Where they think they going on vacation? You know they ain't got no money. You have patronized that spirit of poverty so much that it sits down in every place you find yourself. You can be in a mansion still broke in your mind because that spirit has never been evicted. That victim mentality you've been walking in your whole life, people can literally be saying, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. We're here for you. And you hear, there's nothing you could do to make this happen. And ever since your father left, or ever since that person didn't believe in you, you have allowed the spirit of victim to be all on you. And God's saying, you know, you can tell it to leave. Oh God. You have been given authority to evict evil spirits. The second thing it tells us is that somebody say, I'm a believer. A believer can speak in heavenly language. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit with the benefit of speaking in tongues, not the evidence. Because in old school church, they say, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? And the evidence of speaking in tongues. Evidence, according to the word of God, that you have been filled with the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. And I've seen a lot of people that can and don't have love. Okay, all right. He said, you can do a whole bunch of that, but you're not kind. It's clanging cymbal. But he does say there is a benefit to speaking in a heavenly language. And if you've never been open to that, I know we have people watching that were raised in different denominations, people who transferred from Catholic into Christian and all the different things that are happening. What I'm telling you is open up your heart to a secret weapon of the kingdom. Paul, who writes most of your favorite scriptures, tells us that he prays in tongues more than everybody. He said, the way that I stay fortified is that I walk around my house. He said, I pray in tongues while he's cooking. While you're outside with the kids. I don't know what to pray, how to keep them safe in this school system. So as they're praying, I'm giving you an example of what you have access to. And guess what? The enemy can't interpret. Okay. I'm trying to give you strategy right now. You know why Morse code was developed? Because Morse code was a language that you could speak to somebody who knew the language, but your enemy could not intercept that language. Our heavenly language is a language that the enemy has no ability to intercept. And the reason he would make it want to seem weird is so that you don't use your weapons of warfare. I feel my help coming on today. And what you need to understand is that when God gives you a weapon, it's not to harm you, it's to protect you. And I just want to say that if you are a believer, he said part of the miraculous thing that you get at salvation is the ability to communicate with your Creator. A believer can speak in other tongues. So a believer can evict evil spirits. They can speak in heavenly language. Watch this, third thing. A believer, you remember when it says they'll be able to handle snakes with safety? Now people have taken this to the extreme and you done seen crazy people in the name of Jesus with a rattlesnake. Dead. I don't think this was something that was supposed to be literal. I think it was a metaphor. I think it was a metaphor to let you know, watch this, all believers can have victory over venom. Hear what I just said. He said, you'll be able to walk around snakes. The only reason a snake is dangerous is because of the venom that's in them. And I don't know if you've ever been around a snake, the slithery kind or the ones that talk to you at your job. But what I'm saying to you, is that all snakes come with venom. And what venom is supposed to do is paralyze, to stop mobility. How many words have been spoken over you to try to paralyze you from purpose? How many times did they not choose you and it tried to paralyze you from doing what God told you to do? And what the Bible is telling us here, if you're a believer, you have victory over venom. You have the antibody, you have the Holy Spirit. Whenever somebody tries to sink their teeth into you, that venom gets purified by what God has said about you. I am the righteousness of Christ. I have everything that I need. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God chose me. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Somebody say, I have victory over venom. That means you can't keep being the victim. I just got to say this because some people have been so comfortable in being the victim that when God gives them victory, they go back into victim. You hear me? Yeah, your childhood was crazy. Yeah, your 20s was jacked up. Yeah, your 30s and 40s was crazy. But God last month started doing a work in you. It don't have to be a long time. You're waiting for the bottom to fall out. He started yesterday. Today is your first day of sobriety. Today is your, y'all better. Today is your first day not looking at pornography. Today is the first day that you're going to eat healthy. The miracle starts, somebody say today. That means you can't be the victim anymore. I got victory over every venom that comes into my life. Oh my goodness. Right down next to it, I'm an overcomer. Yeah. That means sometimes God allows things to be in my way so I can step over them. Oh God. If I'm an overcomer, that means there are certain things that happen in my life for me to intentionally. You mad because it's there. And God said, just why you still complaining about, well, they didn't ever get me. Some of y'all need to stretch and kick your leg over it. Okay. So a believer can evict evil spirits. A believer can speak in a heavenly language. A believer has victory over venom. And then look what it says. It says they will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. What this means is a believer can filter filth. If anything poisonous tries to come into your system, you have been given discernment by the Holy Spirit to say, that ain't for me. Y'all might can watch that movie. Y'all might can listen to that song. Y'all might can go to that party. But as for me and my house, I have the ability to filter filth. He said, when poisonous things come to me on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook, I have the ability to have discernment that this ain't necessarily sin, but this ain't good for me. I need to filter. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in with discernment. And it says, then they will be able, watch this, to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. When I read this, this is the only one of all my 30-something years being in church, this is the only one people talk about. That miracles, signs, and wonders will follow you. And you will be able to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I need to be able to evict spirits too. Speak to my God in a heavenly language. Have victory over venom. Be able to filter the filth. And then a believer knows transformation is tangible through agreement. Every time that I get around another believer, you should be able to grab hands. Put elbows together. Get on each other's shoulders, because some of y'all different with the hands and stuff like that. It don't matter. As long as we touch and agree. He said you will be able to lay hands on the sick. That doesn't mean every time it's like, oh my God. Lay hands could be linking pinkies. I'm just trying to let your mind shift from how you have seen things done. And what the scripture says is you'll be able to lay hands on sick people, on your son, on your daughter, on your wife, on your husband, on your girlfriend, on a stranger. And as a believer, you can believe that they can recover. Now, even as I'm saying that right now, it's fighting what is in your control. This is why people don't believe in miracles, because you can't make them happen. If it was about you making them happen, you would be cool with miracles. Because you know, oh, I can do that miracle. I can't do that miracle. This is why you need, somebody shout at me, faith. Shout at me, faith. You need faith because you have to believe even if it doesn't happen. This is where the believer gets into a quandary of if you really believe or not. Because everybody believes if they see it happen. The Bible says, Jesus said, blessed are the ones who believe and they've never seen. They've never even seen what I could do. Today I'm asking you to believe God for miracles. And as a believer, that means you have to walk in your authority. Not Pastor Mike walk in an authority. Jim Bob walking in your authority. Sarah Beth, walk in your authority. Daquan, walk in your authority. Stephen with a PH, walk The reason why most people don't walk in their authority is because they don't have the same definition of a miracle. So let me give you a definition of a miracle. A miracle is a supernatural event where God sovereignly circumvents the natural order in order to do something extraordinary, show his love, and bring his name glory. A miracle is a supernatural event that happened at the car wash, that happened at Albertsons, that happened at the track, that happened at the gym, that happened while I was on the phone with the bill collector, that happened while I was in high school and home ed. It's a supernatural event where God sovereignly circumvents the natural order of things in order to do something extraordinary, show his love to one of his children, and bring his name glory. Luke 18 says it like this: what is impossible for people is possible with God. And the reason that I have to say this is because I'm building your faith through the word right now. Because life, watch this, has made the losses and the hurt and the disappointment make you feel that somehow God lost power. The problem with the fallen world we live in is that our experience many times tries to inform his existence. And because our experience is not always God did it every time, then somehow we equate he's inconsistent with our inconsistent experience of life. And I get it. Because how many of us have prayed and it didn't happen? Several times. How many of us tried and it was like fail? Several times. How many of us lost a loved one that was better than us? And we should have said, take me instead. Why them? And this is where you have to embrace. Watch this. We don't talk about this in church a lot. The mystery of God. In a world full of information and explanation, where you can chat GPT everything, the one thing you cannot chat GPT is the creator of the universe. You cannot pinpoint him, make him do what you want him to do, try to quantify, well, he did it last time like this, so 1 + 1 should equal 2. Sometimes 1 + 5 = 98, and you sitting there trying to figure out, show the work. He said, I don't have to, because I created the hairs on your head, and I need you to know that your ways are not my ways, and your thoughts are not my thoughts. Even your greatest thought is not even at my lowest thought, and until you trust me with you, you won't be able to embrace the beauty of not, watch this, having to know. It's the original sin that God said, there's some things I don't want you to know, Adam and Eve. Stay in the place where you have faith like a child. Just stay in the place that you believe. You believe me. You're gullible. If God says he'll do it, you should be like, man, God said he gonna do it. I don't know how he gonna do it, but I think he gonna do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it should be like, if you don't come to God with childlike faith, the Bible says you won't enter the kingdom. There has to be a level of embrace. And my daughters, when I tell them things, they don't try to figure out how it's gonna happen. They just start proclaiming that it is gonna happen. You missed it. Dad, are we going to Disney World for Gia's 5th birthday? Why would you even ask me that today? This was yesterday. I said, yeah, Bella, we're going. She begins to proclaim around my house. She went, you gotta get it. She has no idea how much money I have in the bank. She has no idea how much a flight from Tulsa to Orlando costs. She has no idea that the Airbnb with the Disney theme bed that's hard. She has no idea. She has no idea the park prices. She has no idea. But as soon as she asked, are we going to Disney World for Gia's 5th birthday? She went and told her sister, Ava, guess what? She believed it so much that she had to tell somebody. And some of y'all are in a place where God has promised you things and you don't believe it, so you don't say nothing about it. But I dare about 50 people, if you have had a promise from God, that you would begin to get faith in this moment to believe that my daddy said something and he's gonna do everything that he said. All right. Don't you start with that organ back there, doctor, because I got a suit on and I got my roach stompers on today. You know, get in the corner, huh? Get it in the corner. Today, I believe God is asking us, watch this. These are the trades. Somebody say, I need to make a trade. I need to make a trade. You're going to have to trade. To see the miracles God wants to do in your life, you need to make a trade. You need to trade explanation for expectation. Today, I feel like an oracle of God. He arrested me on Friday after we wrote that song, Miracles. And he said, Michael, I need you to tell my people to believe me again, because I feel handcuffed by their lack of faith. He said, my ability has nothing to do with the economy right now. And some of y'all have believed that you can't do what God's called you to do because of something you have no control over right now. Well, the Dow is down. The Dow been down. That ain't affect you. You been down. Your Dow and don't even exist. Yet you allow somebody else's fear where their trust is to then affect you stepping out. This is not a good time to start a business. Says who? Did God tell you to start the business? It was a bad time for Noah to build a boat. It was a bad time for Noah to build a boat. Until it wasn't. Until it started raining. Everybody like, oh, Noah, you remember me? I'm just saying, don't borrow fear. Do not borrow somebody else's fear when God has called us to live by faith. I'm not saying that you don't have fear. I'm not saying that you don't have doubt. I'm just saying, please don't borrow somebody else's. Help my unbelief, but I can't deal with mine and theirs. So that's why I have to trade explanation for expectation. If you resolve right now, you will not know how and why God does everything he does. And you just say, but I expect something else is gonna happen out of this situation. Either I'm gonna get a different perspective, God's gonna change the situation, he's gonna use this situation to encourage somebody else's faith, somebody else is going to see me suffering well. Okay, y'all don't wanna talk about that. Somebody else is gonna see me suffering well, and God, I hate this. For the record, let me just say, I hate it. Put that on the roll. But I will be faithful. I'm not walking away from this. I'm not going to curse you. I may have questions. I may ask you why. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. God's not offended by your why. Why has this not happened? Why haven't I not been able to do this? Why? But all I'm telling you is expect. What are you going to expect? I said, what are you going to expect? Somebody's getting it. If it's just for you, baby girl, if only one person gets it. Okay, so God is asking us to trade explanation for expectation. What are you believing God for? Even if you have no sign that it's gonna happen. No sign. Some of y'all need to pick out your ring. See, okay. You have no expectation. You have no expectation. If God brought the man of God into your life ready to rock and roll tomorrow, you wouldn't know what. Oh my God, you'd be so stressed and overwhelmed. Right now, you got all the time in the world. Go find your dress. Y'all think I'm okay? Somebody's hearing me. And right now, the reason why you wouldn't is because you don't want to be disappointed. But why would I do all this work and go find a dress and maybe I won't, but maybe you will. Where is your expect? Some of y'all need to go get a box. And you need to start getting ready to move. No. There's practical steps that go with it. Some of y'all need to give a bunch of stuff away. Some of y'all don't even need to take that stuff to the new house. God gonna bless you too much to bring the trash. Don't bring the trash. But maybe it's a stewardship thing. Maybe God's asking you, like, yeah, your move is 2 years away. But it's gonna take you that long to go through all that. You're a hoarder. You still got your tracksuit from 1919. I'm just saying, where is your expectation? Watch this. Prove your expectation by your action. There has never been an expectation that did not actually have action with it. It's just an idea until there's action. It becomes expectation when you do something. I don't got no clients, but I got a business card. And I created it on Canva last night. And probably 17,000 other people have this exact card. But it don't say they name at the bottom of it. And this phone, I'm trying to give somebody faith to go do something. Get your expectation up, but you gotta trade it for the explanation. How's it gonna happen, God? I don't gotta know that. God is asking us, watch this, to trade information for an invitation into a miracle. So if you need information, God's saying, don't worry about the details of this. I'm inviting you onto a journey that's gonna give me glory and bring you proof that I'm good. Come on, you're invited into this journey of crazy faith. And there will be people who look at you and be like, you are crazy. And you'll be like, until it happens. The very thing that people mocked me for is the very thing that God has used to transform millions of people's lives. Because it's only crazy. The car was crazy until somebody was driving on a street. The plane was crazy. Commercial flights to space was crazy until a year ago. Now Gayle King up in space for 3 minutes. I'm just, y'all, it's only crazy. God is asking us, watch this, to trade explanation to expectation, trade information for an invitation into a miracle, and he's asking us to trade control for contentment. You will never see a miracle if you have to be in control of it. If you have to control the miracle, do it on this day, do it at this time, doing it, it's not a miracle, it's your plan. Remember, the miracle is a supernatural event where God sovereignly circumvents the natural order of things and does something extraordinary to show you his love and bring his name glory. You can't be in control and get all of that. And that's why I believe God is asking each one of us, if we're going to see miracles in our life, to trade our old doubt for a new declaration. Some of us have old doubt that we don't even speak on it. God's saying, get something new in your mouth. Life and death is in the power of the. You need to start declaring out of your mouth what God has said about you. I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Your life has been jacked up. You need to start singing every day. Declare, good morning, God. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Something bad happens. Thank you, God, for another day for me to see your goodness in the land of the living. Today, Father, I thank you that everywhere I go, I am favored by you. Thank you, Father God, that your word and your promises are true. Father, I thank you. With long life, you will satisfy me. And so as I get on this stairmaster, don't let me die. Because with long life, you... What is in your mouth shows up in your life. And some of us have not chosen a new declaration, because the truth of the matter is all of these are summed up in this last one. God is asking us to trade passivity for audacity. When it comes to miracles, all right, God, you know what I'm saying? If you want to, you know what I'm saying? You could do something here. It's your right as a believer to lay hands on the sick and they recover. It's a part of the deal for you able to have victory over venomous situations. Stop being so passive around what God has promised. This is how we're going to end. Four things you must disconnect from to see a miracle. Just four. And I really feel strongly about this, because I believe a miracle is on the way for so many of you right now. I'm going to say it again. I believe a miracle is on the way for so many of you right now. Somebody's faith is building. I believe a miracle is on the way for so many of you. And somebody's faith is being stirred to actually believe it right now. Your confession is changing. Your thoughts are changing. It's like, why did I stop believing for that? You're going to get back your belief for what God said in your life. This may not be for everybody, but I promise you it's for me. See, let me be honest with you. As my son is approaching 10 years old in October, God has given me some promises about my son. And let me be honest about you, like, let me be honest with you, is that like when you see slow progress, sometimes it feels like maybe God forgot what he said. And then you start trying to give, I start trying to give God excuses and be like, oh, God, it's okay. I just thank God that he's living, and I just thank God, da, da, da. And God was like, hold on, wait, what? You don't remember what I said? You don't think I? Well, God, I mean, I'm just grateful that, you know, this is good. You don't want to believe that no more? You don't believe that I can? And y'all, something shifted in me. It shifted in me so strong that my belief for what God told me for my son, and I've never spoken it out loud, only my wife and a few close friends know what I believe God is going to do, and it's not what everybody would think it would be. It's what God told me he was going to do. I'm not in a pipe dream, but I hear from God, and I stand with him, and I spend time with him, and I felt like God told me some specific things, and I am going to believe God no matter what happens. When my wife's faith is withering, because she's always thinking about, I can't die. Because if I die, who's going to take care of my baby? That's a reoccurring thought that me and my wife have to battle with. In the confines of, I'm being too honest right now. How do we walk this thing out for real? And I said, God, I will be found believing you. even if you don't. Even, that's what the three Hebrew boys said. They told them they should bow. And they said, we believe God will save us. But even if he doesn't, and I don't know if there's about 100 people that can get with me on this, but you're gonna believe God, even if what you're believing for doesn't happen like you think it's gonna happen, even if he don't do it how I thought he was gonna do it, I will believe God. My wife got that tattooed on her. It says, even if. That was her faith talking. She couldn't say it. She's not going to stand up and jump and shout. But she said, I gotta remind myself. So when I talk about miracles, this is too real for me. This, I know everybody's life is perfect with roses and stuff. But for me, every day I'm reminded that I'm in need of God. And so if you're going to see this miracle, I'm going to give you the four things the Holy Spirit showed me I had to disconnect from. And I know if you got to leave, go. But I promise you, this is going to deliver somebody and give them the ability to stay the course. The first thing that you have to disconnect. Somebody say disconnect. This is what you have to let go of. If you want to see a miracle, the way he does the miracle. You have to disconnect from the way he does the miracle. I got too many examples to show y'all, but I have proof in the word of God that in Matthew 9:27, when Jesus wanted to heal two blind men, he just touched them and their eyes were opened. But then in Matthew 8, verse 1, he touched and cleansed some leopards. So, okay, the blind man, you touch him, the leopards, you touch him, and the people were trying to get a formula. And then in John 9:7, this the one nobody liked, he spit in mud. I'm just letting you know what Jesus did, okay? He took some spit and some mud, and he put it together, and the man that he touched, he put the spit in the mud on his eyes, and then he told that man to walk away and go wash, and when he washed, that man got his sight. Now, I know people were grossed out, but everybody was grossed out except him, because he got a miracle that nobody else got. And some of y'all are so worried about what the miracle looks like that you would rather stay blind than allow God to do what he wants to do in your life. But I digress. And y'all know that was the first time he did a spit miracle. Just, I don't know if y'all read y'all Bible, because Mark 8:23 is the one I got in trouble for. Because Mark 8:23, he didn't use no mud. You can go check it. He just, Brick, come here. No, I'm just playing. What I'm saying is, some of y'all will get it. I'm an overcomer. You hear me? I'll take whatever the end. I'm going to jump that mug for the glory of God. Okay, let me stop. I love my church. Okay, watch this. So what I'm saying is, if you try to pinpoint the way God does the miracle, you will be disappointed and devastated, because his MO is to keep you guessing. So if he healed it through finances last time, don't look for a six-figure check to solve the issue. It might be a counseling session. Y'all hear what I'm saying? It was an environment. It was a move last time where God did the miracle. And now you're feeling unsettled again. You're like, oh, now I need to go to LA. Now I need to go to Atlanta. God said, no. It's not a move now. It's a surrender. And when you try to get God to do the miracle the same way, you end up putting yourself in a position to be disappointed. And disappointment has taken out more believers than the devil. Hear what I just said. Disappointment has made more people walk away from the faith than the devil has. Because hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. And so what you need to disconnect from is the way he did the miracles. Even in Luke 7, he told some people, go, I'm praying for you, you're healed. And as they went, every step they took away from Jesus, they were healed. So today I'm asking you, if you want to see a miracle, disconnect from how, the way he does the miracle. Second thing, if you want to see a miracle, the second thing you need to disconnect from is where he does the miracle. Could I tell you that most of the miracles that Jesus did not happen at the synagogue? There are 42 recorded miracles that the Bible then tells us that if all of the miracles Jesus did were recorded, it would fill up every book ever known to man. But the 42 we have in the New Testament, the majority of them were done in the streets. See, I like this. I like this because Jesus was for the streets. He was in the streets. He was at people's house. He was eating at people's house he shouldn't have been at. He was at places and parties that nobody wanted him to be at. His own disciples is like, why are you talking to that thought? Y'all know what I'm saying. That hoe over there. Hey, why are you talking to her? That's what he did with the woman at the well. They came back from getting some church's chicken and they was like, why are you talking to her? It was a racial issue. Okay, y'all don't want to be real. All right. All I'm saying is, if Jesus does a miracle at the gym, is it less holy than him doing it at this altar? And church people are the ones that always have a problem of where God decides to do the miracle. Oh, God. Y'all go study Matthew chapter 13, verse 54. But Jesus heals. I'm going to just read it. He returned to Nazareth, his hometown. Where did he go? He went back to his own hood where people knew him. He had done miracles everywhere around the world, but then he went around people that knew him. He said, when he taught there in the synagogue, everyone was amazed and said, dang, Mary boy going at it. Where do you get this wisdom and power to do miracles? And as soon as they recognized his wisdom, verse 55, then they scoffed at him. Look at him. He's just a carpenter's son. And you know, we know Mary, his mother, and his brothers, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas. All his sisters live right here among us. He's regular. Where did he learn all these things? And this is Jesus' response. And they were deeply, this is what they did, and then watch Jesus' response. The people, because they knew him, were deeply offended. They got offended because he had a come up. I mean, let's just say he was not that smart as a child. And he went away and spent time with some rabbis and came to another level of education. He goes back home. They recognize his wisdom and they're deeply offended by his ascension in understanding and communication. This tells us that if Jesus had people who couldn't handle his come up, so will you. Please don't be delayed when people who have been around you in a season try to hold you to that season because they don't like where you position them in the new season. Okay, I can't stay here, but because they were deeply offended, look at the chain reaction. They refuse to believe him. It's hard to believe in somebody that you're offended by. Okay, I can't even touch that. So watch Jesus' response. Then Jesus told him, God dog it. A prophet is honored everywhere. I can do miracles everywhere. I can help everywhere. I can heal blind eyes everywhere. I can bring an atmosphere of joy everywhere. I can change the atmosphere. I can do this everywhere except where people are familiar with me. And it said, and so he did. Watch this. This is the miracle. Even in the place of unbelief, he did a few miracles because it was a place of unbelief. Golly, if we saw a few miracles, there would be a revival. Two people grow their arms back, one person blind eyes open, we wouldn't lead his church for 9 days. Which lets me know God's ability was much larger than their capacity. I just want to let you know, wherever your capacity is, God's ability is bigger than that. And many times we're trying to measure our abilities by his capacity. You'll never be able to get there. He's always got more. And that's why I need you to write this down. Familiarity can fracture faith. For all those people who have somebody special around them, I'm not saying special because they're on a platform, but you know God's hand is on their life for something special. Whether it's a gift, their ability to talk, something that they haven't fully recognized, their ability to incur, whatever it is, you've recognized it. Protect and honor the things you know are special about people you know. You never know, they may be the key to a miracle you need in a different season. And because you saw them being late or spill their coffee or have a bad relationship, you stop believing in what God put in them. Okay. I'm trying to help y'all see a miracle. Here we go. The third thing you got to disconnect from. It's not just the way he does the miracle or where he does the miracle. You need to disconnect from when he does the miracle. And this is probably the hardest one. Is because all of us want it now. J.G. Wentworth. I got a structure settlement and I need cash now. Call J.G. Wentworth. 877 cash now. How do we know that? Maybe the best marketing in history. White people, black people, everybody. We want it. And do you know anytime you get something now, they never tell you what you're forfeiting? Do y'all hear what I'm saying to you? Anytime a payday loan tells you they'll give you $750 before you get your paycheck, let me just let you know what they're not telling you. That they're going to take some more of your money. There's always a cost to not being flexible on the timeline. It may cost you peace. It may cost you relationships. But when you allow the timing of God to be in his hands and not yours, it changes the way you interact with the miracle. I can't even go through it. Mark 3, just go watch it. But church people got mad because Jesus made a man's hand grow back on the wrong day. Let's think about it. 7 days have gone by that none of them made, but one was the Sabbath where they wasn't supposed to do no work. My man couldn't do no work. See, y'all don't be thinking, he didn't have a hand. I be going to the practical stuff. Jesus comes and was like, you want to be healed? My man was like, I would love to have a hand. The Bible said, go read it, that the church people, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, were watching Jesus to make sure that he didn't heal anybody on the Sabbath. And Jesus was like, what's easier for me to do? Say this man is cleansing whole or to bring his hand back? Nobody said nothing. He was like, boop. Man's hand was like, it's just how it happens in my mind. It says he looked around at them angrily and, watch this, deeply saddened. Jesus was like, y'all don't want this man to be healed because it's at the wrong time for you? Tomorrow would have been okay, but not today. That's why I can't stand when people try to keep people from church. Somebody come in here with a mini skirt, just came from the club and da-da-da-da, and you gonna talk to them about their dress? Look at her, you're so distracted. Where were you? Do you forget what God delivered us from? Well, I never would have, but you ain't been through what they've been through. How dare us? Well, this is God's house. This is a hospital for humanity. He didn't come to heal the whale. That's like telling somebody who's been shot 9 times, clean yourself up before you come to the hospital. What? Yeah, we tell people to present their best in the house of God. This is where you bleed out and let God heal you from the inside. I'm sorry, y'all. That's where we're gonna see a miracle. So you gotta disconnect from when he does the miracle. Last one. If you wanna see God do some miracles, I can't tell you when they're gonna happen, where they're gonna happen, the way he's gonna do it. There's some things that I wish I knew, but I don't. Because I have to embrace the mystery of God. But some things I need to disconnect from to actually see a miracle, this is the big one right here. Who he uses to do the miracle. There are more people that miss the miracle God wants to do because they don't like the person he partners with. Oh God, what if God's gonna use somebody you don't like to bring a miracle that you desperately need? Oh, some of y'all, take it back. Don't want it. One thing you never gonna do is mess over me. You sitting there, one hand. All I'm saying is, what if God partners with somebody you don't know? Your favorite pastor may not be in the equation of your miracle. The prophets you listen to, or the woman of God, your small group. What if they're there as encouragement, but they are not an intricate part of the process of the miracle you need? Will you accept the miracle even if the vessel you have not okayed in your life? Y'all remember Saul, who turns into Paul? Like, I want y'all to understand the gravity of who that man was before he became the dude who wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. He was a terrorist. No, y'all don't understand. My man would wake up in the morning, make a kill list of Christians, and be like, who we killing today? Would go outside, kill them, come home, eat dinner, do it again the next day. He had a reputation. You know how some people know, oh, that's the funny guy. Oh, that's the guy who plays sports. They would have said of Saul, that's the guy who kills Christians. And you can go read it on your own. But in Acts, the Bible tells us in Acts 9:10 that he has an encounter with God on the road of Damascus. And it's such a powerful encounter that he goes blind for days. He can't see. Now, this man is in a God moment. And then, watch this, verse 13. The Lord tells this dude named Ananias. Ananias, he said, what, Lord? I got an assignment for you. Anything for you, Lord. It's so funny how we say we'll do anything for God till he tells us what we're gonna do. For your glory, I would do. Shut up. No, you ain't heard what it is yet. The The Lord called to him in a vision, said, Ananias. He said, yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He's praying right now. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias. Uh-oh, that's me. Come and place his hands on him and restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered in verse 13. I don't know if you have heard, but I have heard many reports about the man from Tarsus that you are now referring to and all of the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem, which would include me. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who come and call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, one word. What did he say to him? Go. I'm not going back and forth with you. This is not a debate or a discussion. I need you to participate in this man's miracle. Now, I want to just take this a little deeper. This would be the equivalent of during the 9/11 time, God speaking to somebody to go pray for Osama bin Laden. In person, not from afar, not Lord touch. He's a terror. Go to where he's at and put your hands on him and believe for the scales to fall from his eyes. Do you know how much faith it took for Ananias to leave his room? You're talking about crazy faith? This is delusional. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man, oh my God, look how God loves us, is my chosen instrument. Even in his state of totally walking against me, I still chose him. He is my chosen instrument. Ooh, that blesses me. To proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I had an international plan for this man. He said, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Hello? Hello? Is Saul here? Placing his hands on Saul. He said, watch the language, brother. I want you to see that somewhere from his house to laying his hands, he had embraced that God was about to do a miracle. He embraced it so much that he relabeled him and he called him a brother, which is customary of people who believe the same. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, he sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food to regain his strength, that man went out proclaiming the gospel. Writing it down so we have scriptures today, like I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Like, what would have happened if Ananias would have said no to partnering with God, or Saul would have said, don't put your hands on me? Worship team, would you come up here? And everybody that's here today. Today, I believe God is going to begin to do miracles in your life. I don't care what it is. It could be a healing you need in your body. It could be something that has to happen for your mental or your family or your finances. But this is the three things God told me as I was praying. He said, Michael, tell my people to make new declarations. He said, tell them to declare, I see the miracle. Somebody say, I see the miracle. God said, I need you to start declaring it before you see it. I see the miracle that's gonna happen in my family. I see the miracle that's gonna happen for me and my fiance. I see the miracle that God's gonna do in my heart. I will be able to love again. I am a cold-hearted, beautiful person right now. But one day I'm gonna be able to love again. I can see the miracle. The second thing he's told me to tell you, tell them I speak miracles. I can speak over people, over situations, and things can begin to change. And the last thing he told me is that I will sing about miracles. And when I started to think about the greatest miracle is salvation. I mean, the fact that a God can change my heart. A limb growing back is way easier than changing a heart. Especially how stubborn some of us are. How set in our ways. But God's literally saying at the greatest miracle, he's starting from the top down of salvation. He said, built into that, I will give you all these other miracles, but maybe you need to see it differently. Maybe you need to confess something different. And maybe this message wasn't for everybody, but I believe it was for a group of people that are a remnant that are about to see miracles in everyday life. I'm not talking about once in every decade God does something. I'm talking about literally. Do you know that the same disciples that I talked about a week ago who tried to heal a young boy and it failed, and because they allowed their faith to grow through it, these are the same guys that later on, the Bible says that some of the disciples, their shadows would heal people. In one season, they didn't have faith enough to see a miracle. And then they walked in their authority so much. And I know for some of y'all, this seems like a fairy tale. Y'all think this is Disney. Well, that's good for them. This is for you and for every believer. We were in that writing session, I believe it was Thursday or Friday. Was it Thursday? Yeah, it was Thursday. We had written some amazing songs for Transformation Worship that are going to come out later on this year. And we were about to move into a whole nother vein. And the Holy Spirit, I was just going to let it happen because Pastor Ronim had, they had plans and stuff was happening. And the Holy Spirit, I mean, I was sitting on the couch and it dropped on me. He said, you need to open up space to rewrite an anthem, a declaration of faith for miracles. And we've sang for years that I have faith to believe part of that song. But the rest of the song wasn't as corporate for everybody to just sing. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit met us in that little Airbnb. And the song you heard that they sang just a minute ago, that song was given to us, I believe, for the miracle that has to start in you first of your faith being built up to believe that my miracle is on the way. Whether God decides to do it today, tomorrow, or on the other side of heaven, I know that he's good enough to do the miracle. And so to end this service, I'm going to ask that we worship, watch this, the God of miracles, not the miracle. This is where people get messed up, is they begin to think that the hand going back or the eyes being healed or the person that does the miracle is the one that should be praised in worship. But we serve the God of miracles. And so today, all over this place, if you're watching online, I believe that God is about to start doing, and this is what I honestly believe, and I've been praying for all morning. I done played this song probably 100 times since Friday. I believe that God is about to do creative miracles. There are things missing in your body. Things missing in your chemical imbalance. Things missing in your heart. That God is about to do creative miracles. It's not there right now, but you're going to begin to believe. And I'm telling you, we have proof of this. We have seen God do this before. He is going to do creative miracles. God's going to do restoration miracles. where things that have been deteriorated, I'm talking about from knee cartilage all the way to eardrums being healed, all the way to hearts. You don't have to believe. But I believe that there are seasons that God is asking his people, just believe me. I believe God is about to restore marriages. He's about to restore relationships with fathers and mothers that have been breached and even toxic. That God's about to supernaturally start repairing through forgiveness and admittance. I'm talking about stuff you've stopped praying for. God's saying, just believe me. Not the way I'm going to do it, not when I'm going to do it, not how I'm going to do it, not where I'm going to do it. But that I'm the God of miracles. Men say it's impossible. But have you heard about Jesus? Some of you, there's been grieving that has been going on in your heart because you miss somebody. And God is going to supernaturally allow you to remember with honor what God placed in your life, but not allow you to be able to be stuck. Because the truth of the matter is that God gave you them for a season so that it would do something on the inside of you that would make you know his love even more. And I believe God is going to get glory out of every loss, even though it hurts. There's a miracle of joy that's coming back to you. It will be a miracle for you to be happy again. But your miracle is on the way. Father, in this place today, thank you for the miracle of salvation, the miracle of restoration, the miracle of healing. Father, as we sing this song again, in obedience to what you told me as I was praying, I can't do any miracles, God. I can just believe you for them. And I thank you that the spirit of faith would rise on the inside of every believer under the sound of my voice. Whether they're watching in prison right now, if they're watching, Father God, on the rebroadcast, or if they're hearing me in the lobby right now. God, I pray for a supernatural intervention where you literally supersede the order of how things are supposed to go and work on behalf of your sons and daughters. We will have faith for miracles. Today, do what only you can. In Jesus' name. Would you stand all over this place and let's worship God together.
Church, lift this up. See, in the land of the living, I see a miracle. This praise is what I'm giving before the miracle. You will make a way, it won't be in vain. My faith won't break, my miracle's on the way.
Sing it up.
You are with me in the way.
You are with me.
just the timing of Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
See a miracle.
Dance, pray, this is what I'm
Receive Jesus, which is the greatest miracle. Today, I'm going to say a prayer. And if you want to make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, I want you to just say that prayer with me. Now, at TC, everybody says the prayer for the benefit of those who are coming to Christ. But this is all about you believing. And the miracle that some of you have been believing for is life transformation. And the Bible says, any man who be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, a new life has come. So if you want to make Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior, I just want you to, whether you're in this room or online, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, God, thank you for sending Jesus just for me. Today, I admit I'm a sinner. And I need a Savior. And I choose you. Today, I repent and I turn to you. Change me. Renew me. Transform me. I'm yours. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you pray that prayer for the first time, or you prayed that prayer giving your life back to God, on the count of three, I want you to shoot your hand up in the air. And we're going to celebrate. One, you're making the greatest decision of your life. Two, your name is going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Three, I see you right there. I see you, my brother. I see, oh, Transformation Church. I see you, my sister. I see you, my sister. But more than that, God sees you. Your miracle has come. You made that decision, I want you to text SAVE to 828282. I want you to tell somebody around you. We want to walk with you. We want to help you grow. And I want you to know that your best life is a life lived with Jesus. Church, I'm going to let them worship for just a second more. Because I believe if you need prayer, as the altar workers come, there is going to be people who God does miracles in, with somebody touching you and at your house. Nobody even got to touch you. The miracle worker is here. And some of you, all you needed was to believe again. Your miracle is on the way. Jesus. My miracle. Your miracle. Need prayer all over this place, you can come and get agreement. We got two more weeks left in this series, and I'm telling you, we're going from glory to glory. Bring three people next week, but I'm not going to violate this spirit that's in here. The healer is here. If you need anything, let's believe God. Let's see God do it. We love you. Go out and live a transformed life.
Even as the presence of God is in your home or at the gym, or in your earphones right now, I want you to know that our God will do, is doing, has done, and will continue to do miracles in your life. It's our job to believe. It's His job to perform the miracle. And today, if you need a miracle in your life, I want to pray for you. I want to pray that God does exceedingly abundantly above all you ask, think, or imagine. And if He doesn't do it the way, and when, and where, and with who you want Him to do the miracle with, know that we don't serve the miracle, we serve the God of the miracle. So Father, thank you for my brother and sister who has watched this message and allowed you to speak to them. I thank you that faith would arise on the inside of them to believe you for the impossible. With man, it is impossible, but with God, there is nothing impossible. Father God, we trust that your word is true. And today we are moving in another level of faith in you. Let our faith have action. Let us believe you, Father God, out loud. And we thank you that as you do the miracles that no man can take credit for, we would give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And we thank you for the greatest miracle of salvation, that people have decided to come to you. And today, God, I thank you that you're not just doing a miracle for our individual lives, but you're doing a miracle that touches other people. We'll give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name, we agree, we expect, amen. I love you so much, and I'm gonna ask you to do two things. Number one, if this message has impacted you in any way, would you please send it to somebody? Like anytime there's a good sale, you gotta tell somebody about the sale. Well, when God is doing something that changes your mind and your heart, you need to tell somebody. So send this link, talk to somebody in the barbershop or the beauty salon or at the golf course or the country club. Tell them that they need to watch this and even send it to them. And the second thing is, if this ministry has impacted you in any way, would you pray about sowing financially into what God is doing here? We help people all across the world, but you can be a part of helping us move this mission and vision forward. And there's no amount. Just pray about it. And if God says to do something, please obey. Until next week, we love you. Go out and live a transformed life. God bless.